Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Today I thought we'd look at amazing grace. The Word of God is enveloped in grace. It's framed in grace. And when you look at the various verses throughout the New Testament, it's undeniable. Romans chapter 1, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Not to be, but called saints. There's a difference, you know. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing grace. What will we do without it? Grace, undeserved favor. We didn't earn it. We couldn't have earned it. It's a free gift. And we've received it even though we didn't actually deserve it. Romans 16. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What a tremendous statement. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how often you think about grace, but something that should be pondered on a regular basis. Without grace, we'd be lost. Look at 1 Corinthians. Even here in a reproof epistle, chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in a reproof epistle, there's grace. Even in reproof, even in correction, even when we're wrong, there's grace. Continual grace, because God is a God of grace. Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, the 23rd verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you again. Look at 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You've just got to wonder if there'd ever be peace without grace. Grace, that divine gift, without merit. Nothing we earned, nothing we could earn, nothing that anybody singularly or collectively could earn, but yet God, in all of his love and mercy, extended grace to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I know you know these things, but I feel strongly that these are the type of thing that we need to be reminded of on a regular basis. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Even here in Galatians, they were so off the ball, so missing the mark, still the first thing in the salutation is grace. Undeserved favor. Without it, where would we be? It's amazing. It's fantastic. It's beyond comprehension. How tremendous grace is and how much it has impacted all of our lives every day. Chapter 6, verse 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Or be with you spiritually. If it weren't, where would we be? If we did not have grace, what would we have? Who would we be? Where would we go? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace are inextricably linked. There's no doubt about that. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. Verse 24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And in Philippians, which is also a reproof epistle, chapter 1, verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 23. You see that many of these epistles begin and end with grace. Verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Colossians. Now, Colossians is a correction epistle for the most part. And what that means is that wrong doctrine was practiced so long that they began to receive it as right doctrine. And so God had to give the Apostle Paul revelation to be able to correct that, bring it back to right believing. Chapter 1, verse 2, grace be unto you, and once again, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, last verse, verse 18. This salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen. And then you got Thessalonians, which has the record of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ in it. And in 1 Thessalonians, in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus, Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and of course, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 5. Again, the last verse, it's enveloped. Almost every one of these epistles are enveloped in grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And chapter 3, again the last verse, and you've got to remind yourself that the chapters and the verses were added years after these epistles were written. So, even though you have some of them that begin in the second verse, it's still at the opening salutation, that it's enveloped, that grace is completely surrounding the writings and the Word of God. And the Word of God is the will of God. So God's will is completely enveloped in grace, for He is a gracious God. And we get the full benefit of that. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grace is the Greek word charis, and it can be defined as unmerited favor from God. Unmerited means you don't earn it, you didn't earn it. Therefore, you have no right to expect it, really, because it's given freely. It also pure giving without any strings attached. Grace is not something you earn. Grace is something that's a gift. A gift is given without any strings attached, without anything expected in return. In fact, grace, in God's word, is the words for work are exact opposite to the word charis, which is the word for grace. The word for reward or earning work, because when you go to work, you get paid, right? You expect to get paid. You feel that they're obligated to pay you for your time because you worked. You earned it. Grace is not that way. We did not. None of us ever earned grace. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 makes this clear. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Debt. Why? Because he worked. You go to work for your boss, whoever that may be, the end of the work week, or two, depending if you get paid every other week or however, you are entitled to and you expect to get paid. Because why? You earned it. You worked for it. Grace is not that at all. Grace is divine favor. That means God looked down on us, and God in all of his omniscience, God in all of his love and mercy, bestowed upon us this amazing grace, which not only envelops the Word of God, but it completely infiltrates our entire lives. Everything about our lives speak of a God of grace. The fact that you have technicolor eyesight, the fact that you have stereophonic hearing, the fact that a handful of centers in your mouth and tongue provide for you a multitude of flavors when combined and jazzed around. It's just incredible. Only a God of grace would do such a thing like this. The mere fact that when you get hurt, your body begins to heal itself. Even the animal kingdom begins to heal itself. The plant kingdom, the entire planet. Despite the sin of Adam and the damage that that does, the grace of God is continually at work, day in and day out, showing itself powerful, enveloping in comfort and love this entire planet and every living thing on it. The root word from which grace is defined is the Greek word kairo, which is used in God's word as a greeting, meaning be well, or be glad, or rejoice. The grace of God is a joyful thing. It's not a burden. When one learns of the grace of God that has been bestowed upon them, all one can do is rejoice. Rejoice each and every day in each and every facet of our lives, because God has shed his grace upon us. Romans chapter 3. All that we have received in Christ Jesus, we receive not by works, but by the grace of God. All of it. All the wonderful things that we have. Now, last week we looked at some of those things, but every one of them, every single one of them, all the benefits. Last week it was the dawning of a new day. That new day would never have dawned were not for the grace of God. There'd be no new day. Every day is a new day to start all over again because of the grace of God. Every day there's a clean slate, wiped clean, just so that we can start all over again. A night's sleep, you're refreshed. And we enter into the new day. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Freely, freely, by his grace, freely. I suppose you wouldn't have to put freely, but to make it emphatic, God in his word has insisted that freely be there. Justified, just like you never sinned. Freely. All the mistakes, all the errors, all the heartache that you may have caused others, all the burdens, all the sin. Once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all gone by grace, and you are justified. It's just as though it never happened. Justified freely by his grace. And this is done through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, redemption is not something that we talk about much in the world, but years ago they used to do that. You would redeem a soda bottle. When you buy a soda bottle or a soda from a machine, you drink the soda, you have paid for the bottle, but if you would like to get something back to redeem it, you could redeem it, and they would give you a nickel back, depending what year it was. You used to do the same thing with cans. We used to put cans in machines, and the machines would pay back redemption for all the different materials that are found in the cans, for soda cans, tomato cans, whatever, soup cans, all of that. When you redeem something, you buy it back. You've been bought back from the hand of the enemy because of the grace of God and through this redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The root word, no wonder it says to be joyful and rejoice, the root word for grace. Because all that we've received through, not our works, but through the grace of God. Ephesians again, chapter 1, verse 7. That in the ages to come, well, let's read the whole passage. Where in time past, verse 2, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. We tend to forget that, but there it is in black and white. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show, exhibit, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards you, towards us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Of course, we still have men boasting, but they've no right. No one has a right to boast about anything, because it's God who showered this amazing grace upon us, even upon those that don't believe. They're recipients of God's grace. Even as the animals, they're recipients of God's grace. Even as the plant kingdom is recipient of God's grace. Even as the entire planet is a recipient of God's grace, the recycling of oxygen and the like, all because of God's grace. People talk about being able to resupply, having a supply that's sustainable. Are you kidding me? If it wasn't for God's grace, there'd be no supply. There'd be no sustainable supply. All of this is based on God's grace. The teeming oceans, teeming with food. The forests, teeming with food. The plant life that we eat, teeming with nourishment to make us healthy. And then, of course, the wealthy and wise is left on another category. Ephesians 2, again, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us because we'd argue. Sit down. No, I don't want to sit down. Sit down. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Get the picture? Again and again and again, it's repeated, the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God, enveloping the Word of God being the will of God. Therefore, the grace of God envelops God's will. It's who God is. It's what God wants. It's what God has done for us. We are justified. We are redeemed. We are saved. We are made alive. We've been raised. We've been made to be seated. And we have more to come, all by the exceeding riches of God's grace. Not because of any works we did or will do, but a free gift of God. That is grace. Some other words related to the grace of God are charisma, spiritual gifts of God's grace, given freely to man by God, not earned. Such charisma is the ability to speak in tongues. Interpret that which has been spoken in a tongue. Bring forth a word of prophecy. Receive a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a discerning of spirits. To receive faith, spiritual faith. All of this is a gift of God. Therefore, men ought not to boast or wait. Many men wait for the gift to be bestowed upon them, but at the time of the new birth, the gift is bestowed. Charisma, gifts of God's grace. And here's the big deal, are not taken back by God when they are not used or are used improperly. Grace is unmeritable, it's unmerited, and it's irrevocable. Last place, Romans 11. This perhaps is the icing on the cake, I suppose. Romans 11, verse 29. For the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and calling of God are without repentance. Not only has grace enveloped God's word, not only has grace surrounded us, not only are we enmeshed in it, immersed in it, but God will never, ever, ever, ever take it back.